This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
I'm Nicola Coughlan, and for BBC Radio 4, this is History's Youngest Heroes. Rebellion, risk, and the radical power of youth.
She thought, right, I'll just do it. She thought about others rather than herself.
12 stories of extraordinary young people from across history.
There's a real sense of urgency in them, that resistance has to be mounted, it has to be mounted now.
Follow History's Youngest Heroes wherever you get your podcasts.
Geht es Ihnen nicht auch auf die Nerven, wenn ein Unternehmen mit all seinen Auszeichnungen prahlt? Uns auch. Fühlt sich so aufgesetzt an, oder? Mit uns von Kapital.com können Sie sich also wieder Ihrem Podcast widmen. Übrigens haben wir bei den 2024 Online Money Awards die Auszeichnung Best Overall Trading Plattform erhalten. Oh, ups. Kapital.com. Viel besser in Sachen Trading als in Sachen Werbung. CFDs sind mit einem hohen Risiko behaftet. 70% der Anleger verlieren Geld.
From the BBC World Service, this is The Documentary, the home of original storytelling. I'm Gabriel Gatehouse with a bonus episode of The Coming Storm to mark President Donald Trump's inauguration. So, the last few weeks have been kind of weird for me and Lucy. Unsettling.
Do you remember when we came across that bookstall?
What bookstall?
Oh,
in Miami.
In Miami.
NatCon,
that's it.
So we've got brave books here. This one's called The Plot Against the King, and it's written by Kash Patel, who was deeply involved in the whole pushback against the Russia narrative.
Kash Patel was one of the characters on the fringes of the fringes of The Coming Storm. We'd come across him in the first series. The episode we did about Russia. Patel was a government lawyer who'd won the trust of Donald Trump for his work trying to discredit the FBI investigation into the Trump campaign's links to Moscow in 2016. By the time he crossed our radar, he'd left government and was writing children's books.
And it's a fantastical retelling of a terrible true story. Hillary Clinton and her shifty knight had spread lies that King Donald had cheated to become king. They claimed he was working with the Russonians.
Since then, he's written a book for grown-ups called Government Gangsters, The Deep State, The Truth, and The Battle for Our Democracy.
People are like, where did this deep state come from? It didn't happen overnight.
He says the FBI is part of the deep state's corrupt mechanism. Now he's Donald Trump's nominee for director of the FBI. Kash Patel isn't the only character from our series now poised to take power in Washington. It kept happening. When the president-elect would announce another appointment, Lucy and I would be messaging going, hey, we know that guy. All these people inhabited various corners of the rabbit warren Lucy and I have spent the last 4 years spelunking, popping red and blue pills like kids in a sweet shop. Now, they're coming to Washington. The paranoids, the conspiracists, the people who believe that the institutions of the state have gone rogue. They're taking over. There's one we haven't mentioned yet. He's a fringe figure too, but you'll know his name for sure. He's a child of a storied American dynasty, born into the borderland. The grey area between conspiracy theory and real conspiracy. This is The Coming Storm, Inauguration.
What the f*** is wrong with Bobby Kennedy? Okay. He's a walking, talking conspiracy theory, the New York Times. He's completely divorced from reality. The Guardian. He is vile. The White House.
This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., reading out some of the less flattering press he's got over the past few years.
Kennedy is a crank, the New York Times. He is a crank, the New York Times. He's a crank who cranks out whoppers the way Taylor Swift disgorges...
This video landed while Lucy and I were in America gathering material for the second series of this podcast. It was put out by Kennedy himself, who was running for president as an independent. He later pulled out of the race and joined forces with Donald Trump. Now, he's Trump's nominee for health secretary. At the time, Kennedy had a problem. Not just his weird voice, which is caused by a medical condition. Google RFK Jr., as he's usually known, and you'll quickly come up with a long list of conspiracy theories he's promoted over the years about vaccines, COVID, and much, much more.
I realize you've probably heard a lot of bad stuff about him these last few years. But what if the bad stuff you heard wasn't even true?
The whole aim of this video, narrated by Hollywood star Woody Harrelson, was to try to persuade people that RFK Jr. was not crazy. To be honest, I kind of liked it. Lucy and I went to one of his rallies on Long Island.
Something slightly unsettling about seeing signs that say Kennedy for president. It's a bit like stepping into a time machine or something.
Kennedy talked about reaching across America's hyper-polarized divide. He talked about how the food industry was making Americans sick, feeding them a toxic, ultra-processed diet. He worried about the revolving doors between government regulators and big business. He sounded reasonable. The crowd loved him. They seemed reasonable too. But the RFK Jr. we saw at the rally wasn't the full picture. Behind the sensible concerns about corporate interests is a more paranoid and sometimes, frankly, bonkers worldview. Have a listen to this clip.
And we need to talk about bioweapons.
It was recorded at a fancy dinner about a year earlier and obtained by the New York Post.
COVID-19 is targeted to attack Caucasians and black people. The people who are most immune are Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese. We don't know whether it was deliberately targeted that or not, but there are people...
Yep. You heard that right. Jews and Chinese people are more immune to COVID. This is total nonsense. There's more.
And we are developing ethnic bioweapons. That's what all those labs in the Ukraine are about. They're collecting Russian DNA. They're collecting Chinese DNA so that we can target people by race.
I'm sorry, what? The United States is collecting Chinese and Russian DNA so it can manufacture ethnically targeted bioweapons? I mean, maybe that's true in some diabolical secret program, but I've never seen any credible evidence for it. But why might RFK be drawn to conspiracy theories? Well, there is one obvious reason.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade.
22nd of November, 1963. Dallas, Texas. The lone gunman. The book depository. The grassy knoll. RFK Jr. is 9 years old. He grows up amid whispers about CIA involvement. 5 years after his uncle's assassination, Bobby's father, Senator Robert Kennedy, is running for president himself. The night of June 4th, Bobby Kennedy has just won the California primary, a key step on the road to the White House.
Shortly after midnight, moving into June 5th, he took the stage in a very hot and overcrowded ballroom at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. He made his victory speech. He said, now it's on to Chicago, let's win there and let's secure the nomination.
Shane O'Sullivan is a filmmaker. He's watched and re-watched this footage 1,000 times. It's late. Bobby Kennedy is led off stage and through a kitchen area packed with people, shaking hands as he goes. Waiting for him in the pantry at the Ambassador Hotel is a young Palestinian refugee by the name of Sirhan Sirhan. He's short, slight, and he's standing on a bit of kitchen furniture to get a better view.
He stepped down off a tray stacker, he pulled a gun, he fired at Kennedy from in front of Kennedy. Kennedy fell, he was hit 3 times, 2 shots went through his armpit, and then 1 shot was fired from an inch behind his right ear, and that was the fatal shot that killed him.
Shane is one of a handful of researchers whose work would eventually help persuade RFK Jr. that the official narrative about his father's murder was not the whole truth. Bobby Jr. was 14 when his dad was shot. He made it to the hospital just in time to say goodbye to his dying father. In such cases, who can say where causality lies? But the following year, Bobby Jr. started taking drugs. He struggled with heroin addiction for years afterwards. During that time, he never questioned the official narrative of his father's death. It seemed like an open and shut case. There were dozens of witnesses who saw Sirhan fire his gun. Sirhan confessed to the shooting almost immediately. In his shirt pocket, police found a newspaper clipping about Senator Kennedy's military support for Israel. As a refugee from Palestine, that indicated motive. At Sirhan's home, they found notebooks in which he'd scrawled the words, RFK must die, RFK must die, over and over again. He was convicted of the killing in 1969 and sentenced to death, later commuted to life in prison. But here's the first weird thing. Even though Sirhan admitted his guilt, he said he had no memory of the shooting whatsoever.
In the months before the trial, the defense and prosecution psychiatrists worked together to try and recover Sirhan's recall of what had happened that night and the memory block he seemed to have.
Sirhan, it turned out, had been associated with an occult group. He was into hypnosis. So these psychiatrists, who were working for both the prosecution and Sirhan's defense, tried to hypnotize him to find out what happened.
Sirhan, open your eyes and look at Kennedy. Where is your gun? Reach for it. Reach for it, sir.
They actually recorded these sessions. It's pretty mad.
Shoot the gun. Shoot the gun. Who are you shooting, Sirhan? Who are you shooting?
Under hypnosis, Sirhan would scribble the same phrase police had found in his notebook. RFK must die. RFK must die. But still, he maintained that he had no memory of firing his gun. Okay, and this is where we get to this kind of
the action.
Really mind-blowingly crazy part theory, right?
I guess it's the most difficult part to square off because it is so outlandish.
At one point, police start hunting for a girl in a polka dot dress. There's a theory that the polka dots were a signal, a trigger that would cause Sirhan to shoot while in a trance. Crazy, right? Yeah. Except that decades later, a professor of psychology at Harvard spent years visiting Sirhan in prison and claimed to have reproduced the effect. He's dead now, but Shane interviewed him.
It was witnessed by both his attorney and myself on more than one occasion. And we found after a while that we could actually trigger it.
So this expert believed that Sirhan Sirhan had been programmed. The next obvious question then is, programmed by whom? Shane had collected all the newsreel from that night in 1968. He recruited a former intelligence officer who said he recognized three CIA operatives, shady characters, involved in covert military operations, who kept popping up in the footage.
The men he had worked with back in the early 60s in the secret war against Cuba, figures who had hated the Kennedys.
Well, we got the son of a bitch, that's what he said.
Shane O'Sullivan first broadcast his investigation on Newsnight in 2006. A few years later, RFK Jr. followed him down the rabbit hole. Here's how he told it to talk show host Bill Maher.
When I sat down and read the autopsy report, it became clear to me, as it would to anybody who read that report, that Sirhan could not have killed my father.
When the autopsy report was produced, we found that the fatal shot was fired from an inch behind Kennedy's right ear.
This was a problem, because all the witnesses, pretty much, said that Sirhan was in front of Bobby Kennedy, not behind him, and 2 to 5 feet away. And that wasn't all.
Sirhan's revolver contained 8 shots, but Kennedy was hit 3 times. 1 shot also went through the shoulder pad of his coat, and 5 other bystanders were wounded.
Hold on a second. Wait, so that's...
That's 9 already.
We know bullets can ricochet in a small, confined space.
Yeah.
The apparent discrepancies in the evidence are real and seem compelling. There are also researchers who believe that they can be explained in the chaos of the moment without having to conclude a second gun. I should say at this point that a lot of people, including many of RFK Jr.'s own relatives, think that Sirhan Sirhan killed Bobby Kennedy alone. He had, as they say, the motive, the opportunity, and the means. Put more simply, he was there and he fired his gun. On the other hand, if you go to the CIA's own website and search MKUltra, you'll find that in the 1950s and 60s, the CIA did have a secret mind control program using drugs and, yes, hypnosis, and that they destroyed almost all the evidence. That, dear listener, is a real conspiracy. And so, RFK Jr., son of a murdered senator, nephew of a murdered president, came to believe that the CIA, the American state, was somehow involved, and that they're concealing the evidence to this day.
World of Secrets is where untold stories are exposed, and in this new series, we investigate the dark side of the wellness industry, following the story of a woman who joined a yoga school only to uncover a world she never expected.
I feel that I have no other choice. The only thing I can do is to speak about this.
Where the hope of spiritual breakthroughs leaves people vulnerable to exploitation.
You just get sucked in so gradually, and it's done so skillfully that you don't realise.
World of Secrets, The Bad Guru. Listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
From the BBC World Service, I'm Gabriel Gatehouse with The Coming Storm. Now, we're not in the business of psychoanalysis here, but I'd suggest all of this could be enough to turn anyone into a conspiracy theorist. Amazingly, though, the killing of his father was not what first sent RFK Jr. down the rabbit hole. It was something else. It all started with fish.
Many of you know that I started my environmental career working for a commercial fisherman up on the Hudson River.
Back at that rally, RFK Jr. is talking about his favourite subject. After his father's murder and after he got clean, Bobby Jr. became an environmental lawyer. He represented fishermen on the Hudson River, whose lives and livelihoods had been ruined by mercury pollution. RFK Jr. became famous for taking on big corporations. And perhaps because of that, a group of women approached him who'd become worried about mercury for a different reason. The women convinced RFK Jr. that thimerosal, a type of mercury used in vaccines, was responsible for a steep rise in autism diagnoses in children. Bobby Jr. suspected a cover-up, a conspiracy between government health officials and Big Pharma to put unsafe vaccines on the market. RFK Jr. became perhaps the most visible figurehead of the anti-vax movement.
Excuse me. Hi, I'm from the BBC in London. Can I ask you why are you here today?
I'm here because...
At the rally, there was a sizable contingent of people who call themselves health freedom campaigners. Many of them were drawn into the vaccine skeptic movement during COVID.
I'm not an anti-vaccinator, that's for sure, but nobody wants to really look at the true, what kids are being injected with.
RFK Jr. himself wasn't talking much about vaccines at the rally. He was staying on message. But if you look at the things he was saying elsewhere around this time, it becomes clear that RFK Jr. believes in a vast, sprawling conspiracy theory that pulls in elements of the assassinations, the CIA and secret military programs, with COVID and vaccines. And at least part of its origin lies in Russia.
I'm a US-born physician. I was born in Michigan in the United States. My parents were forced to flee Ukraine after World War II with their parents.
This is Olana Suprun, a Ukrainian-American who'd moved to the land of her parents a decade ago. In March of 2022, a few weeks after Russia launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine, she was on a train from Lviv back to her home in Kiev when someone showed her a disturbing tweet from the spokeswoman for the Russian Foreign Ministry,
a screenshot that Maria Zakharova had put on her Twitter that myself, my husband, my father, and a made-up person who is not my grandfather, all four of us, need to be punished for being Nazis.
The tweet said, Ilana was involved in running secret US laboratories manufacturing biological weapons in Ukraine. Russian media suggested this was the reason its forces had invaded.
Looking at that picture that you mentioned that the Russian Foreign Ministry put out, it says about you, it says, US national, acting Minister of Health of Ukraine, nicknamed by Ukrainians, Dr. Death. Is that true?
No, it was nicknamed by the Russian disinformation as Dr. Death. Another one of their lies and another one of their monikers that they hang on people.
The story was a mixture of fact and fiction. The person described as Ulana's Nazi collaborating grandfather, she'd never seen that man before, she said, nor did she have a relative by that name. But yes, as health minister, Ulana Suprun had been involved in collaborating with the Pentagon. After the end of the Cold War, the United States had set up a program in Ukraine and other post-Soviet states to improve security and collaboration at biological research facilities.
When I came into the ministry in 2016, we started working a little bit more closely with the Department of Defense of the United States, and Ukraine felt that it was important as a policy to improve our security at the biological labs.
The United States has also helped construct or upgrade a number of high-security biolabs in Ukraine, where, in collaboration with local personnel, American scientists studied dangerous pathogens. There are, in fact, similar facilities in a number of countries around the world that have been funded by the Pentagon for decades. A lot of information about them is publicly available, although exactly who works in them and what they research is a little muddy. The US Embassy's website says that the program's aim is to counter the threats of outbreaks, deliberate, accidental or natural, of the world's most dangerous infectious diseases. That means preparing for potential biological weapons attacks or pandemics. And the science is the kind of thing you do if you were researching bioweapons. That's the thing about deadly pathogens. Nature makes its own, and to study them, you sometimes have to create them. The story the Russians told about Ulana, Nazis and bioweapons was crude and didn't look particularly convincing.
The conspiracy theory went wild on American right-wing QAnon-type social media.
American officials batted the story away.
It's classic Russian propaganda. If I were you, I wouldn't give it a drop of ink worth paying attention to.
News outlets fact-checked the claim, but they were sometimes a little overzealous with headlines like Russian propaganda on Ukraine's non-existent biolabs boosted by US far right. The biolabs did exist. The bioweapons didn't. So, someone else picked up on that and did a much more effective job of making it look real and sinister.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. If you had told us just 4 days ago that the Biden administration was funding secret biolabs in Ukraine, of all places, we would not have believed you. Yeah, I don't think we're going to put that on TV. No thanks.
Tucker Carlson, then the biggest star at Fox News, played a clip from a hearing in Congress at which senators were questioning a senior State Department official.
Does Ukraine have biological weapons?
Ukraine has biological research facilities.
Tucker does his trademark jaw on the floor act.
Biological research facilities? What? You mean secret biolabs? Like the secret biolabs Ukraine definitely doesn't have? Under oath in an open committee hearing, Toria Nuland just confirmed that the Russian disinformation they've been telling us for days is a lie and a conspiracy theory and crazy and immoral to believe is in fact totally and completely true. Whoa.
A year later, in 2023, RFK Jr. is on Tucker's new show, now on X.
And that was like kind of ignored, and the people who covered it got attacked for covering it. But the fact remains there are U.S. biolabs in Ukraine. Why would we have biolabs in Ukraine?
We have biolabs in Ukraine because we're developing bioweapons. And
Bobby Jr. has bought the whole story. He's folded the Ukraine biolab story into a much wider conspiracy theory involving COVID, China, and the great bogeyman of MAGA World. The man who led America's response to the pandemic, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Anthony Fauci shifted a lot of his operations offshore. And those operations ended up, most of them, in the Wuhan lab. And then a lot of them went to the Ukraine. So a lot of
basically, what RFK Jr. is suggesting is that COVID was the result of a secret American bioweapons program. The fact that there's no evidence of the US actually manufacturing or stockpiling biological weapons, not in this century at least, that doesn't matter to Bobby Jr. And the thread that he's used to string all of this together is this. The US government agency in charge of biodefense, this project that RFK Jr. believes is actually a malign deep state plot, it is the same department that helped run the COVID response. They did provide some funding to the lab in Wuhan in China. They're part of the Department of Health and Human Services, the very department RFK Jr. is nominated to lead. One of the key factors that separates a conspiracy theorist from a journalist or a researcher is, what do you do when you find evidence that contradicts your narrative? Shane O'Sullivan, the filmmaker who researched the assassination of Bobby Kennedy, was convinced that the CIA was involved. He spoke to former CIA officers who identified their colleagues in the footage from the Ambassador Hotel that night. But then he met other people, close friends of those shadowy operatives, who said, nah, it's not them.
This is not to say that I still don't feel that there was a second gun involved and that it was more than Sirhan.
And does that mean you don't think the CIA was involved?
I don't see any evidence of a CIA figure being involved.
So what about RFK Jr.? Well, he was convinced about a link between autism and mercury in vaccines. When pharmaceutical companies removed the mercury, the figures for autism were unaffected. But instead of reassessing, of looking elsewhere for the cause of a rise in autism diagnoses, he doubled down.
Autism does come from vaccines. There's no vaccine that is, you know, safe and effective. They're all telling us what we know is true is not true. They're imposing an alternative reality on all of us, a matrix reality.
The Matrix. This is our final episode of The Coming Storm, for now. RFK Jr., Kash Patel, Elon Musk, the people who believe in the Matrix, that nothing is what it seems, that the American state has been captured by hidden forces, they've taken over. So, what now? Is the storm about to break? I guess we're going to find out. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to hear more episodes, we've got two whole series. Search for The Coming Storm wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Hello, I'm Charmaine Cozier. On The Inquiry this week, we're looking at unregulated wines and spirits, including fake alcohol. What makes them toxic and how widespread are they? The Inquiry goes beyond the headlines to explore the trends, forces and ideas shaping the world. Search for The Inquiry wherever you get your BBC podcasts.